Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Tuesday. Glad to have you along here on an absolutely beautiful Tuesday afternoon show. Again, we'll hear your local alternative, Solid State Radio. A lot of stuff to do today. A lot of fun stuff to do today. The one sports thing, of course, we've got to attend to is we have a doubleheader coming up for your Detroit Tigers this afternoon. 3:15, first pitch on the doubleheader between the Tigers and the St. Louis Cardinals. And, all right, you're sitting right now, 16-12, three games back in the AL Comedy Central. Could make up some significant ground on that front by the end of today. But I'm just not convinced I could buy into this thing yet. And when I let me tell you, no one wants to buy more into this team than I do. I've been just so starved for actual competent winning baseball in this town for so long. I will take what little glimpse of hope I can get. But when you've literally got four guys in your everyday batting order that are completely and utterly unusable, four guys that should not be playing at the major league level right now with the way they're swinging their bats in, well, Javi Baez, Spencer Torkelson, whichever catcher you're putting out on any particular day doesn't really matter, and Parker Meadows, he of the .091 batting average, really? When, like, half your batting order is toting a sub-600 OPS, it's kind of hard to really buy in that this could be something that's actually sustainable, that this is something that could actually get you to winning the division. And I say this because you look at something rather interesting here. The run differential, how many runs you're scoring versus how many runs your bullpen is and your pitchers are giving up. When you look at the current division leader, the Cleveland, whatever the hell they're calling their team these days, their pitchers have given up 97 runs on the season, good for third in the AL. And they've scored 143 runs, good for also third in the AL. So you're talking a run differential of like 46. The Tigers, on the other hand, that number's closer to zero, like literally three. Like you're talking 108 runs given up to 111 scored. And when you're, like, that just shows you just how ineffective the hitting is on the squad. Like, a run differential like that suggests to me that none of this is particularly sustainable. For what it's worth, if you want the rankings there, the runs given up ranks sixth best in the AL, whereas the hitting is like third to last. Could all this turn around real quick? Sure. We're only 30 games into the season, and it's a grind. We know it's a long season. No way around this. And it's not always, you can't always just judge based on the first 30 games, like, okay, can't write the book on a season at that point. But when you're coming up here next month, at the end of next month, like if this is still the case, like you still can't buy a hit, get a guy on base to save your lives, like I don't think that's a team that can win this division, especially contending against a team like Cleveland that right now is doing everything right. Like their hitting is third best in the league, and their pitching's right up there with them. Like, I'm not giving up on this yet, because otherwise that's going to make for a really long summer around here. But all I'm saying is it doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. A lot of stuff to do today. Don't go anywhere. It is Happy Hour at your local alternative, Solid State Radio.
So, obviously, it seems like in relatively recent, and I don't know if it's, I mean, part of it post-COVID anyway, but just like in the last like year, it seems like there has been a lot more backlash to people tipping, and a lot of people saying they're not going to tip. And
oh yeah, tipping is as a very contentious topic.
It's somehow become even more divisive in recent times. Yep. But apparently, sometimes it can be even contentious when someone does tip a lot.
Oh yeah, I was telling you that I was teasing this a little bit off the air. There is an employee. Her name's Emily. She works for Moorhead Freeze, which I guess is like an ice cream joint. I'm not even sure where this is, but the story goes like this. The mom and dad of Emily post on social media. Said, this spring, our daughter started her fifth season working at Moorhead Freeze. She was recently let go because of a generous tip that a customer left for her. Our daughter was offered a $100 tip and told the customer she couldn't accept it. The customer put the $100 in the tip jar and drove away.
What are you supposed to do at that point?
Yeah. At the end of her shift, our daughter's employer was upset and accused our daughter of taking $100 from a customer. They attaches a written note that our daughter received from her employer 2 days later on April 24th. She was then terminated on April 25th. According to the Moorhead Freeze policy, it is a violation to accept bills over $20 as a form of payment.
But it's not a form of payment. It's a tip.
Yeah,
there's a difference.
There's nothing in the policy about tip amounts. Our daughter appreciates the generosity of the lady who tipped her and feels that this kind lady is in no way responsible for what happened. And here's what the employee warning notice form. The following corrective action must be taken by the employee. Emily needs to understand that some of our customers are elderly and could be dealing with dementia or other illnesses that make it hard for them to understand their actions. No one in their right frame of mind tips up $100 at a place where every menu item is under 12.
You know, about that, yeah, sometimes someone who works at a place where, like, none of the menu items, well, the drink items are more than about $5, that does sometimes just happen in this industry.
As an employee of the Freeze, it is your responsibility to protect the reputation of the establishment. If the customer is dealing with issues and the family finds out that she was allowed to put $100 in the tip jar, the Freeze will be looked down on as a place that takes advantage of the elderly. Looking out for our customers should take priority of the opportunity to get a tip. So I'm assuming that this customer put $100 in the tip jar and Emily took it and pocketed it, which probably, looking back on it, she probably shouldn't have done. But what are we so terrified of the elderly that, you know, you have to have special rules? I can't pay with a $50 bill. Maybe that's all I've got. I can't pay with a $50 bill because, you know, I might have dementia and not know I'm paying with a 50.
Yeah, like, how are you supposed to, like...
You hear of people having these big, huge tips. I mean, and this is, like, right around tax day, so, I mean, maybe she got her taxes back and wanted to pay it forward a little bit. I mean, I just think this is... In a situation where some people don't want to tip at all, I think, and to fire her, I think that's, they really, really went aggressive on this.
Yeah, that I just cannot wrap my head around, man.
I mean, if she didn't take the money and they pocketed the money, and fired her over it, that is total garbage because, you know, they probably kept the money. They probably put it in the till.
Yeah, they probably had no problem taking that money. Also, like, is there seriously enough, like, of the base of customers for ice cream shops? Is it only old people go to ice cream shops that we have to have this, like, specific rule here? Like,
yeah, I can only imagine, like, this ice cream shop is, like, right outside of a convalescent home. Where it's just a steady parade of Rascal scooters and walkers.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Oh, we have so many elderly people, and the elderly, bless their hearts, they don't know what they're doing. They need our protection. They may be suffering from dementia. And so, yeah, she says she wants a double scoop, but look at her. We've made the judgment for her that she only needs a single.
Yeah, that we don't... We're just being a little, perhaps a little too condescending here towards the elderly.
I would think
these
so.
These people are?
I would think so. If I was that customer and I tipped $100 and I found out that person got fired, I would be up that manager's their back telling them, what, you're trying to tell me that I have dementia?
We're not on FM. You can say ass. It's okay.
Okay. I was going to be up there, Keister. So you're trying to tell me that I tried to tip somebody and you're going to label me with dementia? How insulting.
I clearly I can't be in my right frame of mind. Go F yourself.
I'm not tipping you, you punk. I'm tipping somebody who's actually been working for you for a couple of years. Find somebody who wants to work at an ice cream shop for 4 years. Good luck.
Yeah, you ain't kidding there. it's not exactly, I'm sure, I mean, the most desirable job as it is.
No, now, hey, we're opening up for our fourth season, and here comes Emily. She's back. Yeah, she just can't find another job, huh, sweetheart, huh? Can't get none, huh? All right, we're going to put you on the window, and don't take any money. Now, Grandma, you understand, you tip her $100, okay? Oh, yeah, I get it, yeah. Here's $100, sweetheart. Oh, you can't take it? I'll just put it in the tip jar. Oh, no, I can't take it. Sorry, I can't hear you. Just drives off. She's driving like an Oldsmobile 88. Panel on the side and everything else. Oh, man. Oh, she gave you $100. Well, can't do that. You're fired. It's all an inside job.
Yeah, clearly. That's what this whole thing is. It's just a setup. They were looking for an excuse to fire her.
Oh, they railroaded her. Poor Emily.
Right? Feel so bad for you, person who may be entirely theoretical here. poor you.
Yes.
I fear for the future of humanity, you know, in a lot of ways, really. But then you showed me what's been coming up on your Facebook reels of late.
The reels.
Now even more so.
It's terrible. I mean, all right, we love animals. We're all pet owners. And
we've all made it pretty abundantly clear. Like, we hate 90% of the people that exist on this earth. And really, that's mostly me.
Yeah,
like,
we love 90% of the animals. Yeah, we love 90% of the animals. The other 10% are snakes and spiders.
Yeah, pretty much.
And they're just garbage and they need to go away.
Yeah.
But there is a trend on TikTok and YouTube and Reels and everything else of cat owners and dog owners dressing up like a cat and scaring the bejesus out of their animals. I mean, I've seen one where a guy looks like he was on the cut list for the musical Cats. Like, sorry, you're scaring the hell out of the kids. We got to get rid of you. Andrew Lloyd Webber's just like, you go on, get.
I mean, I don't think they were that worried about scaring the kids, considering that at least with the adaptation that made it to the movies, they were like trying to make these like humanoid cat creatures like sexy, and it was really just a weird thing all the way around.
Well, okay, all right. Full disclosure, I saw Cats a couple times. I remember seeing it at the Fox Theater, and
I saw it once when I was on my 8th grade DC trip.
Yeah, and I saw it, and there was a Siamese actor, and she was kind of hot.
it's weird. I'm sorry. But everything about it was just creepy.
Yeah. It's not a good play. It's an okay musical. It's not a good play. It's not Phantom of the Opera, I'll tell you that much. But sitting there. These guys look like they're all like rejects from the movie, the play Cats, where they're just scaring, traumatizing their animals. I'm like, does your bed not smell enough like cat piss? Was that an issue with you?
Like, you just really needed everything in your house to just smell like cat urine? Because that's what you're going to get.
I mean, a lot of these videos, I'm watching like a whole compilation of, and these cats are just sitting there, minding their own business, sleeping, being cute cat-like, and you're going to tap them on the head, and you're wearing a cat mask. Yeah, that's exactly what you want to do. Yeah, you know what, honey? What our house is missing is the stench of cat urine. Let's go ahead and just really try. This cat is going to defecate on everything you hold dear.
Right?
I mean, like, the family Bible, gone. Wedding photos, gone. Because you have to have this funny moment where you traumatize your poor little fur babies. And yes, I use the term fur babies. Deal with it.
Look, I love animals probably more than anybody in this operation, and I hate the term fur babies. I'm sorry. I can't do it. It's like, no. First, like, why would you insult your kids why would you insult your animals by comparing them to children? But, I mean, we had a cat, our race, she was brought in, that cat had lived a life before she ended up here. Like, she was like so just scared of everything. It's just like walks in a room with, that hesitant paw, can I do this? Am I allowed here? I feel like something like traumatized that poor girl in a previous life.
That cat has met me about 50 times and still has to kind of creep up to me. Doesn't know anything about me.
The kittens, the younger of the two, they were still kittens when they were outside, and we got them in pretty young, so they've never had to really deal with the harsh reality of, a-hole owners and people being D-bags.
Yeah.
But, Like, I can't imagine doing something like that. They freak out enough when we go to, like, trim their nails and, like, when we used to have to treat them for fleas and stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The things that you actually have to do to not have just sick, mangy cats.
Right.
Why would we do something like that and just break the trust that it was a bitch to build up in the first place,
right?
Just to have a stupid YouTube video.
Yeah, I don't get that, man. I mean, you see, like, one guy opening up the door with a cat mask on. You got three cats who are just scared to death.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just... You're not coming out looking good.
No, it's just a cruel thing to do.
I just want to see the one... There's one video where I'm sure one cat is like, oh, F this, and just, like, claws their owner to pieces.
Good on that cat.
No, Muffin, it's me. I know.
I know it is, but F you. Like,
yeah, you go take care of your scratches on your neck and your face. I'm you know that signed jersey? I'm going to scratch the hell out of it.
There are plenty of cuter ways to get views on the internet. Like, trust me, there's enough people that just would totally just sit here and watch the reels of your cat just doing normal, adorable cat things without you having to scare the bejesus out of them.
Absolutely. Oh, that Les Paul that you got setting up, hanging out there after you were playing guitar, I'm going to use it as a scratching post.
Yeah.
And you still have it plugged in and turned down to the amp. Oh, this is going to sound great at 3 a.m.
Right? Oh, let's turn the keyboard on you've got set up in the back room there.
Yeah, yeah. You're just, yeah, you're trying to get intimate with your woman. All of a sudden, blang, 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 blang.
And then he pisses on it.
Pisses on it.
That's really what this comes back to.
Yep. Yeah, there's so much cat urine. How is that mask now? How much did that cost you? How much is it going to cost to get that cat urine out of the
How much does it cost to replace all of your carpet? Because the cat just turned your entire house into a litter box.
Yeah, yeah. I want to see that video where you're tearing up all the carpet and the cat's just like, yeah, yeah. Funny. Wasn't it funny? Yeah, hit like and subscribe.
Yeah. Like and subscribe to this. Hope it was worth it. So we live in a dystopian hellscape. Everybody knows it. Sound like I'm coming back from a break on your show. But apparently, Slate Magazine figured it out because this article comes across what's really so wrong about secretly working two full-time jobs at once.
I mean, what's wrong with doing two full-time jobs? Their lack of time, no energy, loss for love for life, I guess. But secretly, you shouldn't have to be secret about it at all.
Right, so the weird thing about this, and this is the weird thing they take, like, is it morally or ethically right to work multiple jobs, multiple full-time jobs? And obviously kind of the work-from-home thing has really sort of opened that up as a possibility that people are now basically trying to do two jobs at once. Well, it's not like I can't, like, I'll have to be in the office for either one, so I can just maintain both these gigs remotely.
Yep.
And, like, Until the whole we have to have a Zoom meeting or something with two separate clients at the same time, all of a sudden this turns into a wacky sitcom plot. Like, oh yeah, hey yeah, things are going great. We're working on this product and this. Like, oh, I'll be right back. Goes to his other computer.
The girl who got $100 tip. Yep, definitely fired her. Oh, hang on a second here. Just hear like the Flintstones running, running to the next computer.
Exactly. But apparently, there's now a surge in people secretly working two or more full time jobs without their employer's knowledge. If you don't have to show up at an office every day, the thinking seems to go. What's to stop you from accepting multiple remote jobs and trying to do them all at once while you collect multiple salaries? I mean, one obvious answer to that is the workload. I mean,
yeah.
if you're doing a 40-hour-a-week gig to do a job satisfactory, can you really do it well if you're doing two simultaneously? And people are starting to get caught in, like people are noticing that, yes, there's a whole subreddit
about
it.
When you started this, I'm thinking, okay, you're going to put in an 8-hour shift and then go work somewhere else. You're talking about, like, simultaneously at the same time.
Correct.
Okay. I'll keep reading. I've got an opinion formulated in my head as we speak.
I guess what one manager says he's seen employees hiding a second job, explain their poor performance or lack of responsiveness by making up excuses that play on their employer's sympathies. Others don't seem to try and hide what they're doing at all. A poor performing colleague they suspect has a second full-time job, yada, yada, yada. It's just a lot of people, like, it sounds like where they are actually suffering at their job. Like, we have to pick up this person's slack because we think they're working another full-time gig and collecting the salary out of it. And that's, I don't see the problem with, if you can get away with working two full-time jobs, as long as there's not the, as long as you don't run into the issue of there's certain trademark, copyright, whatever problems. Like, if you, you know, can't be disclosing products and you're also working for the competitor of that company at the same time.
Ooh, okay, that's bad.
Obviously, that's an issue.
Yeah. Yeah, if there's a conflict of interest, yeah, absolutely.
It, like, that can be a problem. Or if you're just trying, you're doing both jobs at the same time, so you're just not doing either one particularly well.
If you're working two jobs and one, and your productivity is, your professionalism for one job is starting to suffer,
you're not going
to
have that second job for very long.
Yeah, yeah. It's, but if you're able to maintain things perfectly, I don't even have to be secret about it. Yeah, yeah, boss. I have. I'm doing a second job while I'm doing this one because I'm not. I got to get paid. I got to get paid more. And since you're not paying me more, I have to get a second job. You should feel guilty, boss. You should feel guilty.
You should.
Shame.
That's bad, and you should feel bad.
I mean, there's going to be times when you're like, Zoom meeting for your first job, and you know, it's like, oh, okay, Robert is here, and Robert's wearing like a full Chuck E. Cheese costume on, takes his head off. Oh yeah, if you'll see the numbers from the fourth quarter, you'll see that we're it's a steady climb. It's like, Robert, I'm still looking at the Chuck E. Cheese costume. Yeah, well, you know, in a couple minutes, I gotta go sing Hands, Feet, Knees, and Toes, or whatever that song is. I've 20 times a day, tossing out tickets. It's Vegas for children, folks. I really kind of want to put a shotgun in my mouth. Anyway, if you look at the fifth quarter.
Apparently, one person argues in favor of being able to do both. So this guy is working two full-time director-level jobs, paying around $200,000 each.
Wow.
He says, I started doing this a month ago. I wasn't happy at my old company. Started job searching. Received two job offers relatively quickly and accepted both. The companies are not competitors, suppliers, or customers of each other. I work remote. I'm a very conscientious person. Don't accept mediocrity and intend to do great work. So far, I've been able to handle competing responsibilities. Both jobs are strategic, and in general, I don't have tactical concrete work products with due dates. I know what my goals are and can plan activities well in advance. And
If you can get it done, kudos, right? Brother.
And see, like, the one thing that came up was a lot of, like, well, that's just a job you're taking away from someone else who could be working one of those jobs. But, like, I don't feel like that's really applicable here, because the kind of gig that you could do remotely like that, and, you know, at that level and be able to maintain two jobs and work remote and do all that, those are higher end jobs anyway. Like, you're taking money out of some other person who's just, you know, working hand to mouth for $200,000 a year. Like,
right.
I don't really feel sorry that the corporate CEO jobs are getting getting consolidated in such a way. Like, good, you should have to do all, you know, do three people's jobs like all the rest of us do.
Exactly. Oh man, I could be the CEO of that company, but no, Terry's got two jobs.
Right.
Terry, you got to share some of that. No, I don't. I don't do anything.
I'm not sharing nothing.
This is capitalism at its best.
Exactly.
I mean, like it or love it.
If anything, the problem, the initial question that the title of the article poses, which is, what's really so wrong about secretly working at two full-time jobs at once? I'll tell you what the problem with that is. The problem is that this society is, we live in such a capitalist hellscape that people feel like they have to work two full-time jobs,
yep,
just to keep a roof over their damn head.
Okay, yeah, but you're also
talking
about,
that's the problem.
You're talking about the two jobs equaling $400,000.
In that case, okay, no, absolutely.
I mean, we're talking about somebody who, you know, has to work at a
just
retail
some clerical
and then,
gig of
and
some
then
sort.
Has to work at a shop at midnights, right, to make things happen. But yeah, I mean, there are those people like, well, you need to have, you can't be greedy with the jobs. Listen, I don't hear too many people, and maybe there's some people out there, but I don't hear too many people who are unemployed who can't find a job.
Right? Like, I don't understand, like, the moral, well, you're taking away a job from somebody else. Well, are you though? Because, like, I feel like places are, like, struggling to, like, keep enough people on staff. Like,
yep,
if anything, this whole thing is, like, bias far more in the favor of the employee than it's been in this country, possibly literally ever. Yep. I mean, unless you work in the radio business, in which case, no, there are no jobs to be had.
But you are a slave to the program director overlords.
Right, yeah, something like that. Like, I'm just lucky. My job hasn't. Well, you have that job right, I guess. In this case, yeah. I guess I'm just lucky that my job hasn't been cut and outsourced to someone in like Texas or something. Yeah, you're now the program director for stations in like Kentucky and Michigan and Boise, Idaho, for some reason. Like, that's just how that goes now. Like, there's no. But, like, yep. In most industries that weren't already a dystopian hellscape, you can. Like, you can get jobs just like crazy, honestly. Like, it's not like there's such a finite supply of work to be had.
Right, right.
As we are finding out with this whole nobody wants to work anymore nonsense.
Yeah, yeah. We've all been proven that wrong. So, if you can do it, and you can do it. Feasible and be proficient at it,
and without driving yourself just mentally insane.
There is a mental health part of it. Don't sell yourself short on that, there, Kings. But I know, yeah, if you can do it, do it.
I've worked 2 full time jobs since before COVID, and I am like 1 second away from snapping here. So that's like, right. I get it. Like we're gonna see me atop the Lyric Mall, you know, like have me up there and have someone else from here on the grassy knoll, you know. I mean. Yeah. We're only, you know, we're so close to breaking here, really. Yeah.
I'll be on the other side of Nepessine Street. Jump! Don't tempt me.
Yeah, don't threaten me with a good time.
I bet you can fly.
I'm just crazy. I'm just backwater local enough to try and find out. Work the hustles, you can get away with it, but. It's honestly sad that we have to defend having to do that. That the fact that that's even something that people like feel the need to do to survive is just kind of sad. On that uplifting note, it's happy hour on Solid State Radio.
Happy hour.
I don't know about you, Hair Huck, but I'm feeling pretty judgy today.
Okay, let's do some judging.
Let's do some am I the a-hole? So I've got to lead this thing off. Am I the a-hole for letting my kids disturb my husband during an important work meeting after he said he would handle them for a day to prove how easy my job is? I feel like I know where, I have a feeling where you're going to come down on this.
Okay, please continue.
I'm 31, my husband's 36, we have 2 boys, a 5 and a 7-year-old. My husband works in an office and has the option to work a few days a week from home, but prefers not to because he says it's easier to focus in the office. I run a small business from home, I don't have a lot of daily work, just some emails and planning, maybe 3 hours a day, but the business does make about a third of our household income. My younger son's home all day and just dealing with him takes a lot of energy. He's really high energy and will probably wreck something if you leave him alone for an hour. And then the older one comes home at 3 and they're both with me till 8 or 9, which is usually when my husband comes home. A few days ago, I was tired and didn't make dinner. When my husband came home, I asked him if he could just order something. He was also tired. We were both short-tempered, so we ended up snapping at each other. He said he should have at least ordered before he got home, and he was hungry. I said I forgot. It's not fair that food's always my problem. He says, I'm home all day, and even I admit I don't have much work to do, so I'm basically a stay-at-home mom and should at least take care of dinner. I said he has no idea how much I do every day, and he said he'd handle the kids for an entire day while also working from home just to prove it should be easy for me. I said, sure, so he made the arrangements to work from home yesterday. I slept in, and when I woke up, he was already frazzled from getting the older one ready for school. He ended up having to cancel a meeting to make breakfast and was worried about that. Then we took another meeting later on. The boys went out to play in the yard and got super muddy and left footprints all over the house, which he then had to mop, and I didn't help at all. By this point, I did feel sort of guilty because it was definitely harder for him to take care of work at the same time, but all I wanted was an apology. He said he was doing this to show that I do nothing all day, and if he just admitted he was wrong, I would have helped out straight away. Later on, he had another meeting, and he told the boys not to bother him for an hour. But about 20 minutes in, they got into an argument about something, and my younger one went into the husband's room to complain. He was really loud, and my husband's video was also on. He told the kid to leave him alone, but he was upset and crying and not listening. After a few minutes, my husband went back to the meeting and apologized to the other people. When it was finished, he was really angry at me. He said I could see what was happening. I just watched him struggle without helping. I said all he had to say was, please help. I said I shouldn't be so petty and prideful. This probably made him look a bit stupid in front of his manager, but it was only a few minutes, and I don't think it was the huge deal he made it out to be.
First of all, anybody who says that somebody just stays at home and just raises a kid has never raised a kid. I mean, I can tell you that Joey, he just turned 16 months, and this kid is a little tornado.
Yeah.
Gets into things that I could have toys lined up, but nope. Oh, a pair of scissors? Oh, I'm going to grab that. So anybody who says that it's just staying at home, just raising kids, they don't get it. So the one kid busts in on a meeting, and he's mad that the writer, the wife, didn't come help. Well, you were supposed to be doing this on your own, so no, you weren't getting any reinforcements. This, you were on your own, bud.
This is you wanted this. This is exactly what you wanted, right?
You got it. I mean, she maintains the house, takes care of the food, takes care of the kids, and still does 3 hours worth of work that brings in a third of your income. I'm thinking you need to get that woman some flowers, toot sweet. Oh, that's French. Sorry.
We talked about this.
Excusez-moi. So, yeah, I mean, they're different jobs, but I mean, they're still not to say that he has a life of Riley where he's at. I mean, he's got a job too, and the whole idea he gets more work done at the office. No, I totally get it. Like I try to pre-record shows at the house. It's so much easier here. You're just in that atmosphere. It makes for better shows. But you know, you also get the kids like busting in. Hey, I want to do this. I want to do this. Kids crying and dogs barking. And there's home life at home, believe it or not.
Yeah, I know. There is something to that. Like, I don't think you're necessarily in the wrong here. I mean, you were doing it the whole time and dealing with it without any of his help, so.
And he was making it sound like, well, all you do is just stay at home. You probably just sit and watch, you know.
You're sitting there and watch soap operas all day because that's totally still a thing.
Yeah.
Like, do they even still have soap operas?
They do. They do. Young and the Restless is still, they play it in the break room at work. And there's some people who are like really riveted about this stupid thing to where they plan their breaks out so they can watch it.
That's insane to me.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, I mean, there are moments where you can sit down and watch, you know, Price is Right and stuff like that. But most of it is taking care of the one kid who's not in school, making sure the other kid gets up and goes to school. Maintain the house and plan meals and stuff like that. Being a homemaker is not an easy gig at all.
No,
where we placate to all the home homemakers.
I wouldn't want to do it. I'd tell you that much.
Mm-mm.
I mean, also, I would want to do it because that would involve me having kids, and as we've established, screw that. Wouldn't want to have to stay home and you know, deal with that all day.
No,
I mean, it's a little different, certainly, as we've talked about on a few unsolicited advices where people just want to be just a stay-at-home, just husband or wife.
Yep, they're out there, believe it or not, in this day and age, in 2020s.
Oh, we know. Wasn't just this last Friday we did one of those?
Yeah, somebody just wants to, I just want to stay at home.
Clean the house. Like, there can't be that much cleaning to do every day to make up for the not having
the
income.
All the ones that I was with that wanted to be a housewife
didn't clean either.
Yeah.
Well, what's the point? Like, what are we even doing here then?
I couldn't answer that question, so I bailed.
Honestly, kind of fair. Like, I can't see that being a viable thing.
No.
So really the moral of the story here is don't have kids. Also, you know, you're not the a-hole for making him eat his words.
No, you're not.
Absolutely not. Let's do one more real quick here, shall we?
Yeah.
How about a little bachelorette party fun here? Am I the a-hole for letting someone skip my bachelorette party and not telling them new details that would have changed their mind? So my brother's been trying to push me to get closer to his girlfriend, Mary. They've been together for 3 months. I've done my best to get to know her, but we honestly don't get along. I personally think she's a snob. She complimented my designer bag, but took the compliment back when she found out it was thrifted, as in literally said, yike, I take that back, while she thinks I lack culture and sophistication. The issue is I'm getting married this year, and my brother has been really trying to get her involved. I put my foot down with the bridal party since they've only been dating for 3 months, and I don't know her, but he insisted that I invite her to the bachelorette. party. It was originally supposed to be super low-key and local. Mary tried to push for something more extravagant, but it wasn't in my budget. When I wouldn't budge, she told us something came up that weekend and she couldn't go. I was later surprised by my friends who had come together to organize a lavish weekend through favors and points. Like, one of my friend's aunts works for a spa, so she was able to get a discounted package. Another used her travel points to book a hotel. I was not told about this and was truly and happily surprised. The issue is, Mary found out when we posted pictures and she was pissed. My brother's now saying I deliberately left her out, but she told me she was busy. Mary said if she had known what the weekend was like, she would have rearranged her schedule. I suspect my friends didn't tell her on purpose, but they're claiming they made these plans after Mary bowed out and didn't reach back out since she was busy. My brother still says I should have double-checked and made more of an effort to let her know my plans, so I figured I'd ask the internet and apparently a-hole radio DJs their thoughts.
Oh, you did nothing wrong. I mean, this Mary sounds like a load. Your brother's been dating her for only 3 months, and now, first of all, we're not talking about the wedding. We're talking about your bachelorette party. You should just have the people you want there that are going to have a good time. You don't have a good time with this woman. This woman is catty. She's upset you on numerous occasions. I'm not doing that. We should have more lavish. No, you're not doing what I want to do. Well, then I have other plans. Oh, now you're doing something really cool. Do you want to be there or not?
Yeah, like she doesn't want to be there unless it's the specific thing that she wants to do that she thinks you should be doing.
Yeah.
So no, she lost all right to have any complaints whatsoever. In fact,
yeah. Even if before the fact you're like, oh, we've decided to do this, and if Mary had said, oh, well, I can rearrange my schedule for that. Listen, do you want to be there for the bride or not? It's a simple question. And Mary basically said, I don't care. On the contingency that it's something that's really extravagant, expensive. No, she sounds like a load. Quite frankly, the brother needs to wake up and bail. Because, I mean, that sounds like a firework waiting to go off.
Yeah, she very much strikes me as like she's only with him for what he can provide for her anyway.
Yeah, sounds like, from what I understand, I'm assuming that the writer had a good time with she made the right decision.
She had a far better time without you.
Because it probably would have been a whole other letter. Oh, she didn't even want to go until she found out we're doing this. Then she wanted to go, and then everybody hated her guts, and we left her for dead in Vegas. We don't know what happened, and my brother's really upset at me. Am I the...
And the answer would still be the same. No, you are not the a-hole.
We left her at a rest stop in Reno.
You know, we had to do what we had to do. Decisions were made. Mistakes were made, okay?
So, I mean...
No, you are not at all in any way, shape, or form the terrible person.
You're absolutely not.
Quite frankly,
not.
The fact that you even agreed to allow her to be involved in any of it was, you know, far more than they deserve.
Yes.
And then the second she was like, oh, no, oh, you don't want to do this, like, expensive thing that I want to do, then I don't want to be involved.
Yeah.
And then... And you're right. Your friends probably did as soon as she dropped out and was like that. They probably did do it just to spite her. Oh, yeah. And you know what? That's totally okay. They can do that.
Yeah,
you can do that.
Yeah, your squad really stepped up.
Hashtag squad goals.
Squad goals. Hashtag squad goals.
Because that keeps coming up on this show a lot, right?
Because you know they probably hear you know what this bitch Mary did again. So they hear all this, and they're like, as soon as they find out Mary's not going, they're like, yeah, let's really change things up. This is going to be fun. Why? Because we want Mary to go? No, idiot. We don't want Mary to go, but we want her to be really upset.
We want her to feel bad for being such a rude bitch.
See, now, those are your besties. Make sure that they are well taken care of at the wedding.
Yeah, those are the people that make sure they get Christmas cards forever, for life. Yeah,
absolutely. Mary, not so much. Mary probably won't. By the time the wedding happens, she won't even be in the picture.
She'll probably be gone. She'll found some other guy that'll pamper her and give her all the expensive crap she wants. And
exactly.
Your brother will be better off.
Dear people who care, my girlfriend, I really wanted my loving, tender girlfriend to join my sister on our bachelorette party, but they purposely left her out. I mean, yeah, okay, my girlfriend could be a copper bottom bitch, but a gold digger if some by some degree.
We're not saying she's a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke.
I mean, they told my girlfriend that they were just going to go to Chuck E. Cheese and deal with some guy who's also
a corporate CEO. who's the president of finance or whatever. Yeah.
But then they actually went to Vegas where, you know, my girlfriend, who is just a love of my life, really would have wanted to go. I think they're purposely keeping my girlfriend out. What should I do?
You think?
Nothing. Dump that girl and get somebody else.
Dump that bitch. That's what you do.
I mean, your sister is getting married and she has a plethora of bridesmaids. Come on, man.
A
plethora of bridesmaids. This is like shooting fish in a barrel, my man. Women are the most vulnerable at weddings. Everybody knows this.
Everybody knows it. You should figure that out.
Yes. I mean, you can kind of tell just by the bridesmaids' dresses on how ugly they are. Yeah, it's like, oh, they want to get out of those real quick. And you can find a way. Oh, some of the bridesmaids' dresses. Oh, man, those dresses are going to hit the floor before the bouquet does.
Exactly. See, I don't see the issue here.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. I mean, as far as like just in the general sense on the whole, like other people trying to force you to include who you want in when it's your wedding. Period, full stop. It's your wedding. You don't have to involve anybody you don't want to. Like,
I can't believe this is such an issue.
I can't believe that there are people that are that, willing to, like, just bend on that sort of thing. Like, Rachel didn't tell me who to include as my groomsman.
Nope.
And she probably would have told me to not include you, but I mean, I didn't listen to her. Yeah, but I didn't tell her who she had to have as her bridesmaids, even though my boss was one of those people.
Yeah, right.
I didn't tell her to do that.
No, you guys did things right.
And the people that we wanted for the bachelor party were ultimately the people that we wanted for the bachelor party.
Yep.
Except Adam. This isn't let's bag on Adam time. It's just, that's the other, 2 hours and 57 minutes of this program.
Yeah, that's right.
But, like, neither one of us told that you have to include this person or this person in this. Like, no, it's your day. You don't have to listen to any outside influence from anybody as to who you include.
Exactly.
Hope that helped. My, you perked up the second I let the words Florida Man exit my mouth, dude.
We haven't done a Florida Man story in a long time.
Ready for some Florida Man road rage Italian style?
Oh, wow.
So, the victim of the drive-by attack, the cops say, was hit in the arms, legs, and torso by a road-raging Florida motorist. But he escaped without injury because he was only struck by pasta with sauce, according to a police report. Road rage al dente. 46-year-old Nolan Goins was involved in a road rage incident over glaring headlights Thursday night while driving near his St. Petersburg residence. Now, while it probably is one of those dudes in the lifted trucks where, like, you can, like, literally turn on your brights and, like, all of a sudden you become translucent.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Those people can just F right off.
Yeah.
But the defendant threw food, pasta with sauce, from the passenger seat of his vehicle, striking the victim through his open window as he operated the vehicle.
That's good timing. You have to really time that correctly.
Yeah, that's hard to do. Like, trying to maintain that while, maintain your speed, both of you stay in your lane and lined up just right to get the food through the window. Like, that's a hell of a shot. Like, put that guy out there to throw, like, for a Super Bowl, for a touchdown, man. Like, sign that guy.
Exactly.
Goins was found with the same food stains on his right sleeve as the male target of the pasta pelting. He was charged with battery, a misdemeanor, and booked into the county jail. He was freed on $1,000 bond. He's a painting contractor whose rap sheet includes convictions for selling marijuana, of course, obstruction, battery twice, as well as a multitude of traffic infractions. Investigators did not identify the kind of pasta or sauce used in the alleged attack.
Like, that was, like, there's people like, oh, come on, was that a nice fettuccine?
Well,
was it a clam sauce like my madre used to do?
I mean, marinara is going to be probably a little easier to get out of there. Like, if it's like a pesto or something oil-based, you're never getting those oil stains out of your interior.
No, it's never happening. But it was probably like some canned Hunt's. Sauce. Right. Or could be just, I mean, a whole thing of SpaghettiOs or like Chef Boyardee or something like that.
I mean, why are you really taking an open container of SpaghettiOs out somewhere, though, is my question.
You're trying to eat SpaghettiOs while driving. You're like, oh, I can't believe it. I'm trying to enjoy these SpaghettiOs with meatballs, mind you. And this guy's got his halogen lights right in my eyes.
I mean, I'd be pretty mad, too, although it sounds like this guy's not any better in traffic situations. If he's got, you know, these multiple infractions and things, like, he's probably high. Like, the first, like, how are you, like, you know, I guess he didn't say he was high in this, but he says he's got pot convictions on his record. Like, no, well, like, he couldn't have been high because he wouldn't have just thrown away perfectly good food.
He had to have been trying to eat it while driving. He probably was high. He had the munchies. He's trying to eat pasta while driving because it's not like, oh, this guy's really upset. Here, let me get into the bag. And oh, I just was at my mom's house and she sent me home.
Have you ever met someone road raging with weed, though?
No, no.
Like, you know that's not happening.
I maintain, though, he was probably eating the pasta while driving because it's not like he's going to be, like, digging in a bag. Oh, we're going to throw these people, this jackanape. You know, I was just at mom's house, and she gave me some leftover, you know. No, he was probably eating it. It's like, you know, oh, this is total bullcrap. Okay. Chucks it at him.
But how, to be fair, like, how are you eating pasta while driving? Like, I just want to know the logistics of this. Like, that's a... bitch to pull
there
off.
There was one time I attempted to eat soup while driving. It did not go
You're
well.
You're insane.
Yeah, I was.
Why would you do this?
It did not go well.
Like, that is asking for all of the trouble, dude.
Oh, yeah. I got burnt, and I deserved it.
You knew damn well you had that coming to you. Yeah. You can't even be mad at yourself about that. Nope. Like, yep, I did this to myself. I don't have to.
I love Tim Hortons soup in a bread bowl, and I tried to eat it while driving.
Oh,
in
a, it didn't go well. God.
It didn't go well.
No. Jesus Christ, man.
Well, because I tried to eat the bread first. No.
You not. Would. No, you would. Like, you would be the guy to do that.
Oh, no.
See, Jesus, man. Have some self-respect,
would
like, you?
I was like, ooh, this is hot.
Runs right into a semi. Yeah. All of a sudden, his lap is just scalding with hot soup. Oh, God!
Oh, my God! Oh, this is my, oh, burns! It burns!
It burns!
Reminds me of that girl I met in college. It burns so bad! I got a deadly car crash. It was like minestrone soup. And I was like, talking to the coroner. He's like, I don't have no idea what's going on here. Is that blood? No, I think that's a tomato-based soup.
Yeah, no. No one wants this.
Right.
Also, talking to the coroner? Who died?
And if I was in a deadly car accident. And
yeah, but you're not talking to the
coroner. Yeah. No, the cop would be like, I have no idea what's going on in here. Also, there was a soup and part of him everywhere.
Oof. Yeah, that's...
Oh, Tim Hortons does have a good soup. And it's kind of funny that bread bowl was, like, shoved right into his face. It looked like something from Aliens.
Oh, good Lord. God, I have nothing to top that with. It's happy hour at Salt Lake Radio.
That's it. It's over.
Jack Daniels!
It's happy hour at Solid State Radio as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge and turn things over to whatever it is that Adam does at 6 o'clock every weeknight. I don't know. I've never actually listened to it. I put the show together and I've never listened to it.
You just only produce it. It's Two for Tuesday here on Sessions. Double shots from some of your favorite Michigan artists. Deadlights, The Crush Tones, Joe Hurdler and the Rainbow Seekers. It's going to be a lot of fun. A double shot. Kind of fun.
Ooh. Should be a good time all the way around.
Absolutely.
Should put a double shot in the Gasoline Gypsies in there somewhere.
Yeah, right.
Built up this whole, really built up this case for, you know.
$100 to the American Humane Society in the Gasoline Gypsies name if they'll come on the show for extra sessions for an interview.
Or if you have a comparable animal-based charity you'd like us to donate to, that's fine as well.
Yeah. Something like, I just put out Humane Society. Yeah, if you're like, screw the American Humane Society. We can go ahead and do something else. We go to the charity of your choice.
You could be the difference in a in some poor shelter pet's life. Like, that $100 can go a long way towards helping get, you know, animals fixed and put in homes and things of that nature. You do like animals, don't you? Who doesn't love cats and dogs? Like,
I don't know. Maybe the whole thing about gasoline gypsies were they're against animals. Gravel roads. Maybe they're just like looking for raccoons to run over on a gravel road. Playing with fire. Maybe they're like setting cats on fire.
Oh,
I don't
God.
Know.
Lord.
Freaks and non-believers. I mean, that you go
know.
So many ways to go with that one.
Damn, now I'm gonna go home and just sit in front of my in front of the cats and just like love on them tonight.
You're
like,
just gonna cuddle. You're gonna come back all scratched. I was like, apparently I don't like to be cuddled as much as I wanted to, but I just had to cuddle.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Listen to Gasoline Gypsies. No, they're not against animals. They're not.
So there's the challenge. We've thrown down the gauntlet. Now it's on y'all to accept.
Here we go.
On that note, Sessions is next. See you tomorrow at 3.